He is Robin Leach. He is Jay DeMarkin. This is Car Keys.
I think during this corona period, there seems to be light at the start of a tunnel for car sales recovery, and some of the, I think we mentioned this before, the assembly lines are starting to ramp up, although I've seen that a couple of them that ramped up at one speed have seemed to have slowed their speed of production down since the initial startup, and they may be suffering from latent effects of the coronavirus situation or the social justicing, spacing that workers have to keep in plants and that kind of thing. Jay may be able to add to this, I'm not sure.
Yes.
But the good news is that the production is starting for some lines, specifically pickup trucks in the first and the SUV lines, I think, ahead of anything that American car manufacturers are doing still with the limited numbers of sedans. But the sales picture has been a little rosier, at least along the news front, as far as I have been reading, for some of the manufacturers. Trucks have been very good for General Motors sales, that is. They had fairly large inventories, and so that they had, if they had what you wanted, you were able to find it as a buyer. Ford may have been had the same situation with slightly less inventory, and same with the Ram situation. I don't know anything about the Toyota, the Japanese the Toyotas, and the other. That's the only other real major truck. Nissan puts out a large truck, too, but they've never had sales and numbers that made any difference to them as far as record sales and that kind of thing. But it's good that we're going to see some cars coming off the assembly line, or trucks, that is, and people will get back to work. And I think there's a lot of pent-up. Judging from what I'm seeing in other types of stores and the shoppers that are out and about, the people have got money to spend, all the way from the luxury real estate market to the luxury truck department and luxury house goods department.
Well, Robin, remember, and this is something that people just, I don't think that they're mentally updated because there's still understandable virus terror, but this wasn't because, you know, a bunch of banks went down or people were messing around. This was because everyone said, stop what you're doing, put down your, go home, shut your business.
Right.
And so, that in fact, that's a totally different mentality for starting again, like once you get it up and running. You've got, there's still stuff that people want to do. It's not the same
thing. That's absolutely correct. And the people that want to do it are starting to do it more than they might have been 6 weeks ago. As people, because I think the mentality has changed a little bit due to frustration and whatever other situation. So I agree. Jay, do you want to jump in?
Yeah, let me throw a little cold water on all of this.
Okay.
I think, well, first of all, production is slated to start, I believe, today, May 18th, right? And that's what the American auto manufacturers are trying to do in the North American plants in the, or here in the U.S. There's a little bit of a problem because a lot of our parts supplies originate down in Mexico, and we know that there's a back and forth going on between the Mexican government and suppliers there and American auto manufacturers. Where Mexico is trying to delay the restart of production of their manufacturing and sending out, shipping out supplies to June 1st. So, you know, restarting plants on May 18th, if you're going to be short of bits and pieces and parts until June 1st, you know, could be a major problem. And this is what, you know, the auto manufacturing business is very complex, and one little grain of salt in the supply chain and everything comes to a halt. So restarting it is not going to be easy. You are right, I think, that we're going to start with trucks, and there is a strong demand for trucks, and trucks have continued to sell during the pandemic. But we all know that I've been pretty doom and gloom about the auto industry going into 2020, regardless of the pandemic. And I think that When we get out of this, there's still going to be a major restructuring of the whole industry.
Do you think that I'm sorry to I do agree, and I think that Robin agrees in principle, or I'm going to speak for him and say he agrees in principle that there's going to have to be a massive restructuring. Do you think that's going to affect leasing and loaning and the highway robbery that's been going on?
Well, I'll let you know. I want to jump in on that right away because there was a very distressing statistic about how many vehicle owners are underwater in their trade-ins and will be in their new trade-ins later on, because what is going on in the offering department is 84 months, or maybe it's 8 years, I'm not sure. One or the other, it's still long. 84 is 7 years. 96 would be 8 years. But that's what the automakers are using, or General Motors in particular, I believe, 0% down and 84 or 96-month financing for new vehicles to get people to come in. And I think Hyundai's doing some of it. I noticed the other manufacturers are too. And we have discussed on numerous shows about why long-term financing is good for the buyer, because it allows them their payments to get down to where they can go buy a car, but it's bad for them about, well, what, 5 years or into the payments when their cars are worth less than what they still got left to pay for. And when you go and trade in a car in which you may still owe $2,000 on or more, maybe even $5,000 in payments left to pay off that first car we're talking about, and they want to buy a new car, they add those payments onto the financing of the new car, or I don't know how they make them disappear. I don't think they totally disappear, and they just get further and further underwater. And there may be a big situation in the car repossession market coming down the line in the next 5 years to come.
But we're just kicking the ball down the road, because okay, so you repossess the cars. So what are you doing now? You're just adding more, you know, freshly used cars or newish cars, or now just
would you like to
flooding the market?
Here's my guess. You ready?
Ready.
Giant amnesty. That's my guess.
Interesting concept.
No,
whether it'll hit the automobile market, financing market or not, I don't know.
It'll be in the CARES Act.
But it's really interesting to see all these manufacturers offering 7 or 8 year loans or longer to try to keep the sales moving while they're waiting to get production going.
They'll have to do something. It'll have to be the pipeline
that's disappearing.
I'm making that up, but something will have to be done, and it will have to be dramatique. And what better than making a bunch of drivers whole?
Well, you know, they've been trying to do that with the teachers. You know, they're trying to make the teachers whole by buying out, by making them not have to pay off their teacher loans, and that's failed so far as I can tell, at the federal level, because of political snafus or whatever else. So the same thing could be federal government oriented, but the same thing could happen in the car loan industry or the car loan debt situation. Because we all know that the car's values do not survive.
They don't survive leaving
five
the
auto. 5 years of an 8 year loan.
They don't survive leaving the premises of the dealership.
Well, they don't. And you've already lost probably 25% of the value of your car the minute you drive it off the
lot.
Don't let that shock you, listeners, but that's what's going on in new cars. You only have to call up your insurance company and ask them what the cash value replacement value of their brand-new car, which is what I did against a Jeep some time ago, and I was struck by the fact that if I had an accident, a total car accident, on a brand-new vehicle driven off a lot within 24 or 45 hours, 48 hours or more or less, they would only give me a total cash value of let's say, a $42,000 Jeep in the $35,000 to $36,000 range.
So, Robin, let me ask you this. What do you think the guy who crashed a Porsche Taycan S, Turbo S, got after driving it, crashing it 15 miles after he got it?
I haven't a clue. Do you know the answer?
No, it was just, I'm just trying to be a little facetious here. brand.
Well, a turbo titan Porsche might, if it was the last one off the line, might be worth more. But the general American iron.
No, it's total. There's nothing left of it.
How long did it take? How long did it take him to do that? And I've got to ask you guys a question. What about gap insurance? While we're on the topic.
Well, there is such thing as gap insurance for leasing. I don't know whether I know certain insurance
and for buying as well. No, right?
Certain insurance companies also have a gap insurance type of program if you insure with them, in which case they'll give you the full replacement value of your car if it is theoretically totaled or worth less than the cost to replace it in an accident if they do try to rebuild it. But it's not across the insurance board. I know I'm not aware Mika does it, which is where my insurance is, but it's something like State Farm or some, one of those companies used to advertise that they would give you full replacement value if necessary within the first year of ownership.
I wouldn't be surprised if every insurer, that's competitive. I think I vaguely remember not knowing what it was, but somebody saying, do you want it? Maybe it's something you have to ask for. I'd just be curious.
They may add that in, and leasing, I think it gets added into a lease program if you buy gap insurance, which is certainly desirable for the lessor.
But also the...
They want to have their cars replaceable or their value recovered if a leased car gets totaled during the course of the lease program and it's not worth as much. And then somebody has to pay that difference if they don't have gap insurance. So it's that's another insurance program that's out there. But as far as sales, I'm not sure. But to the point of our earlier part of this discussion, find out what your new car is going to be worth if something catastrophic happens within hours, minutes, or a couple of days, or whatever, of their driving the brand new car for which they might have paid more. Finds it's only worth 75% of to the insurance company for the actual cash value for replacing it. It's a little bit of a shock because it means all those extra options you put on the base price of the vehicle, which could, in, as Jay will tell you, in a Porsche or a Mercedes or an Audi could be $20,000 or $40,000 or more. They may not get those things recovered if their car gets totaled. I don't know. It's a shock, though. Jay, do you have anything to say? I want to go into a different topic when we're ready to do it, which is
we're just going to have masses of vehicles, whether new, used. There's an overproduction, and it'll be an overcapacity, put it this way, of cars on the roads in the foreseeable future. Just as
you start off with the parts thing, which is of course the beginning of every car is the finishing of every car is the sum of the total parts available to put it together, and the Japanese I think were the first manufacturers way back when to do just in time production, which was only produce the number of parts that you need to produce the cars currently coming off the line. Don't build any inventory, which goes to the heart of what Jay said earlier in this show, which is going to be the bane of the car producers until the parts are in the pipeline and flowing stably and steadily so they can produce cars without stopping the assembly lines because one or two or 10 parts are missing still on a container coming in from a truck from Mexico or wherever else.
So go ahead with your next subject.
Okay. Well, the next subject was my sitting here with my main car and driver, and they say 25 cars worth waiting for. And I want to put this
That's
to Jay, actually, because I want to know what he thinks about the 25 cars that Car and Driver thinks we're supposed to be waiting for, so we shouldn't buy anything else.
I haven't seen the list, but go ahead. I obviously will have an opinion. Go.
Yes, you sure will. The 2022 GMC Hummer EV SUT, which is an electric vehicle. Go ahead, Jay. You must have read about it.
No interest. I wouldn't wait. I wouldn't.
2 minutes. Okay.
No, not 2 minutes.
2023 Mazda 6.
Great sedan. Current Mazda 6 is a great sedan. Mazda is a niche manufacturer. They're going through, hard times like everybody else.
Difficult times, yes.
But they're going to stick with, smaller niches of the market, and sedans are obviously it. And I'm sure the next Mazda 6 will be a fantastic car. Yes. Yes.
Okay, I'm going to jump over, Jay, the 2024 Aston Martin Vanquish, because that's an exotic car, and I don't think the listeners may not yet be around.
We know that Lawrence Stroll, the Canadian billionaire who has a big stake in Aston Martin, is the chairman of Aston Martin now, has just pumped in, I don't know, $1 billion or so, and the demand for new Aston Martins is going down. They're not selling at the same level of prices they were a year ago. They've always struggled. They were in the Ford Premier Group when Ford had this portfolio of car manufacturers.
Jaguar and all the like, yeah.
Yes.
But you're right. I think the sales are going down. I don't think there's one listener out there, I wish there were, on our show that probably could afford one. There's not one person in our producing department that could afford one, so obviously they won't get anything from us if
so
they survive.
So put it this way. If I had the money for it, I'd be looking for it, but I wouldn't put a deposit on it.
Well, then let's go from that to the 2023 Hyundai RM20N, which is going to be a mid-engined car from Hyundai. And the little blurb in the Car and Driver says, mid-engined cars are like a-holes. I guess we can't say the word. Everyone has one. Having taken grip at blue-collar brands such as Chevrolet and Ford, mid-engine mania is now working its way into luxury marques known for putting the engine up front, such as Maserati and others. They're hoping that the Hyundai comes out as a Hyundai-priced vehicle, not a Genesis-priced vehicle in their little article, but I didn't think that those brands would go to mid-engine. What?
Are we talking about a sports car?
We're talking about the Velostar, brand of the Hyundai, I believe, which is now front engine. They're planning a mid-engine version of this vehicle, hopefully in the $40,000 price range by 2023.
Well, here's my take on it. I have a lot of respect.
It's a two-door car, so it's going to have limited use anyways. Yeah. Okay.
Hyundai has done a great job over the last 20 years, and they have great product now, great product line, great design, great engineering. I am a little skeptical on this one, and that I'm going to bite my tongue.
Okay, that's a rare situation. There we go. the 2022 Lincoln Mark E, which is going to be apparently built by Rivian. I guess it's going to be electric. And again, we're talking about an EE, which means electric, and then we're going to get back to, are the electric cars going to take off, or are they not going to because gas is so cheap?
That okay. project has been shelved already.
You're right.
So Ford, Lincoln, and Rivian need to get on the phone and talk to each other and decide what they want to do. But I think Ford's got way bigger problems than that, and I don't think if this thing was shelved, it may be for the right or the wrong reasons, I don't know, but it's not happening anytime soon.
Okay, interesting. I haven't read anything about that, the timing. Then we'll jump to Ford because one of the cars worth waiting for is a truck, the 2021 Ford F-150. I don't know why it's worth waiting for, but Car and Driver seems to have it on their list. And then we go to the 2021 Grand Cherokee, which, Jay, you've been groaning about living on an obsolete platform for years. And I guess they're going to update it. And
is it a new platform, or are they going to update the 2009?
21 or 20. I haven't read enough about what's going to happen to the 2021. It's going to be a little bigger, of course. They're talking about a Grand Cherokee. Yeah, well, that's what we're talking about, the Grand Cherokee, which is the big Cherokee right now. They're talking about maybe... they're going to go down to a turbocharged 2-liter 4 engine in the Grand Cherokee. This is the downsizing of the engine and the upsizing of the size of the vehicles.
Well,
but the engines are still getting more powerful and smaller designs.
I don't know where FCA gets their platform for this vehicle. And
is this going to come from Alfa Romeo? Excuse me, I do have that information. It's going to come from their Alfa Romeo platform.
That's a good platform.
Based on a version of the Alfa Romeo Giorgio platform found under the Giulia sedan and the Stelvio SUV. that's where the change is going to come. They're going to ditch the Mercedes platform.
So Jeep is going to start with a five-year-old platform again.
Okay, Jay, I got it. That's all we need to say about that.
So we want to wait 3 years to get a five-year-old platform?
Is that and then we're going to get to the 2022 Chevrolet Corvette Z06 with a 600-something horsepower engine. Do we need more horsepower than what's currently available on the new Corvette, Jay, or not?
Nobody needs more horsepower. I mean, it's.
I agree.
But it's always nice to have. I mean, you know, horsepower
well,
is great.
Yeah, it goes to 0 to 60, probably 1/10 of a second better than the current horsepower version available on the car. That's not an accurate statement. That's me saying that's probably what you'll get for an additional $25,000 engine going into the 2022 Corvette.
It's
and there'll be people who will buy it for that,
but
you really won't. Ever use it, Jay?
No, but you know, that's true with any upgraded engine, you know.
Yes, that is true.
Engine
with, any upgraded
with more
engine.
Power is usually not, quote-unquote, necessary. So... No,
the 2022 Tesla Cybertruck, Jay.
The
2022 Tesla Cybertruck, a vehicle worth waiting for? You seem to like it a lot.
I don't personally like the shape of it. I think it's interesting.
I don't either. It looks like a spaceship. It looks like a spaceship. Plus, it looks like it's almost the compartment. Of it looks like it's so far back into what I would think would be the pickup truck bed that the pickup truck bed might be fairly useless in if it's called a standard version versus maybe a long elongated version. In any event, it will capture some people's imagination, people's purse book, you know, purse strings, I'm sure.
Elongated.
Not mine,
no,
and maybe not yours.
Hey, I think the Cybertruck, you know, is a provocative move from Musk, but we know that's what he does. And so far, you know, recent history has told us and shown us that people who have got on waiting lists for Tesla products usually have been happy with the outcome and what they've gotten. So, I think
have you seen a Model Y anywhere around? Tesla's on a roll, yes.
Yep,
have you seen a Model Y yet?
I have not seen a Model Y. But
I think they're on the production line, but I don't know if they've made it to the States. Are they being built in China or are they being built in California?
No, and Tesla has plans to build a factory in Austin to produce the Tesla Y and the Cybertruck in the next couple of years. And as usual, Elon is you know...
talking big and producing little.
Well, he's not producing little. He's producing a
lot.
Well,
he's producing the existing Teslas at a fine pace once he gets restarted again. But as far as the new vehicles like the truck and the Y, which if he's got to build a new plant, I don't know how you can build a plant in under 2 years, but Tesla seems to be able to do it. Didn't he open the one in China in less than a year?
Tesla is planning to open the plant in Austin by the end of 2020.
Yes, you said that.
That's in 6 months. So.
Yeah, okay. I don't know how they do it, but that's a remarkable speech.
I don't know. I'm liking it. Mostly also what I'm liking is that everyone had to learn how to say Alameda County, but initially they just had a tremendous amount of difficulty with it, just to add a little levity.
I still do.
Are we at safety moment of the show?
We are. Alameda, Jay. Alameda.
Alameda.
There you go.
No street racing. I heard the stupidest news most recently. I don't know how any politician can get away with that. But the mayor of Atlanta is considering a request to close down streets because streets, you know, traffic has gone down on an average of 30%. And the mayor of Atlanta is, I kid you not, seriously considering
permanently
some streets to street racing. How great of a idea is that?
I don't know.
Maybe it's a
but,
Georgia
you know,
thing.
Speaking of things, driving going down, the good news maybe to close the show with is that some insurance companies are issuing rebates or reduction on your second half of your insurance cost to holders of auto insurance, which includes just about everybody, because the driving's going down, so accidents are less, and they're not having as many claims. I am benefiting from that eventually in my with my insurance company, and with a 20% either rebate or reduction in the next portion of my insurance payment. So I think there are quite a few people out there that are getting that.
Yeah, there is actually.
Don't call it incentive spending stimulus, but it's certainly a nice offer.
He is Robin Leach. He is Jada Markin. This is Car Geek.